Hi, I'm Life Coach Mama, a life coach for moms who want to find more joy and more peace in their marriage and in their parenting. My husband and I have 8 kids. We love having a big family and often hear the phrase, "You've got your hands full." Come and join me as I interview moms of all ages and in all stages from around the world. Be encouraged, find inspiration and confidence that you can handle another kid. And if this is a topic that interests you, please check out my book, Have Another Kid Without Losing It, available for purchase today on Amazon by Lauren Loboda.
My name is Sarah Brogan, and I'm originally from Louisiana, but we've lived the last 18 years in Wheeling, West Virginia, and just moved back to the South area. I forget, you're up north, but we're in Longview, Texas. But I grew, and my husband's from Philadelphia, so Wheeling was kind of in the middle, but kind of not, but that was kind of what we were thinking. But I'm from a family of 6 kids, and I'm second of 6 kids, and 4 girls, 2 boys.
This is exciting. I don't have anybody from out of state. I've only interviewed people in Ohio. And I love Southern accents. So you could just talk about anything.
Let me think of what you were.
I can ask you. It's okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember your questions.
Yeah, so when you were growing up, were you aware that your family was bigger than most, or were you around other big families, or do you have any thoughts about that or memories?
Yeah, I don't think I was that aware. I mean, I knew it was a larger family, but it never seemed to bother me, or it never I never felt like we stuck out too much, and it probably helped that my best friend was from a family of 6 kids as well, and her younger sister was my sister's best friend, and so on. Yeah. Were you about to say something?
No, that totally makes sense. I think a lot of us in our memories, our reference point is a friend, you know, our cousin, whoever we're close to, and it's like, oh, well, you know, their dad was a doctor, or their mom was a nurse, or you know, they did this every week, so it's like everyone must have done that.
Right.
Kind of grow
up
and realize.
It seemed normal at the time. And the only comments I remember hearing growing up were positive, just a few, you know, like, oh, what a lovely family, you know, that sort of thing. So I never thought too much of it.
Yeah. Were you all pretty close in age? Like, did you grow up together? If you were out in public, would all the kids be together, or were you spread out?
I think we're a little more spread out. I think we're 15 years apart from the oldest to the youngest. So there were like the 4 girls who were very closer in age, and then the 2 boys at the end. So, yeah, a little different than, you know, parading all, you know, 6 together. But, I was very close with some of my, especially the sibling right under me. We were we were like 20 months apart. Like the first 3, so we're all pretty close. And I just remember really, the first 3 were 20 months apart. And then I think there were 3 years for the next one, and then maybe 5. I don't know. I have to think about the math. But, yeah, a little more span as it went on. But it was just a very joyous childhood. Some of my favorite memories, I guess. One more regularly was just like family Sunday dinner was always a really nice time I look forward to. We just all were together and just enjoyed everybody's company. And then Christmas, we go to my grandfather's, my dad's parents' house and just sing. Like they sang and played instruments. So we just really loved that time. You know, that's until my grandmother died. So those were really fond memories growing up. Yeah.
Wow. So was there anything that your mom or dad did that you think might have been different but would be like a good tip to give someone for just general parenting, but I'm thinking specifically like big family. Like, did they have to cook a lot of food or clean differently, travel differently?
Yeah.
I don't know. A lot of people are, I don't know how you feel, but a lot of people, I feel, look at me and say, oh my gosh, how do you do it? Give me advice.
Right. I don't know. See, I wasn't as aware because we seem to function just fine. My mother did all the cooking and she also taught. And she, I mean, we would do our Saturday morning chores and clean our room and vacuum. And we would do the dishes at night. But I don't, then we were very active in things. I was on swim team. We did basketball. We played instrument, you know, the violin, and we
did
everything that anybody else, like, so it didn't, I don't feel like, I don't know, she pulled it off pretty well. She didn't seem extra.
Yeah, she's amazing.
I know. She was very disciplined. You know, so we were very well, you know, we listened very well. And my dad was just very, very loving. He worked longer hours, but he was very loving, giving person. So I'm trying, I don't, as a child, I think my perspective is different than as a mother of a large family. It was just all lovely and, you know, not all lovely. I mean, we had our moments, you know.
Well, that makes me feel so good because every other day I'm like, am I wrecking their life? And then Benny, your reasoning, you and your husband to have a big family, or was it just, it happened and it's great that it happened.
Well, originally I always wanted a big family because I came from a bigger family, and that was always a wonderful experience for me. And he had one brother, and he said he always wanted a bigger family because he lived in some of the summers he'd spend with his cousins, and that was always a fun time. And he thought, oh, it'd be nice to just be a part of a bigger family. And now we are, there's several reasons. So that was the initial thought. And then we are a Catholic family. So you get into, you know, we're not so, I don't know if I should get the religious stuff, but we, you know, we try to do the natural family planning, but we're not always so good with it, like understanding. I don't know what to say.
Yeah,
but
no, that's
so
great. If
so
you want to explain that, so I know what NFP is, but some people don't, and I think there's a lot of misconceptions because we're also Catholic and we also use NFP, but a lot of people assume that means we just get pregnant randomly, or all they know is it means I don't use birth control. So, and then I have friends saying, don't tell people you use NFP because it's bad advertisement. And I said, well, how do you know? Maybe I wanted 7 kids, right? So it just depends on what advertisement you're trying to make.
Yeah.
If you want to speak about it, that'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, you'd probably speak better about it. But I think initially, you know, we don't use the birth control, but I was, you know, we didn't, we wanted the bigger family, so we weren't as diligent about getting the NFP. We didn't even take a class until we already had, you know, some of our kids. So then there's so many different methods. So that first method, we just weren't as, we didn't do everything they asked us to do. So we weren't as serious about it, even though we're like, oh, we want a little more space, but then I end up pregnant. But I really don't think I was following the method. And I guess because part of us were like, no, that's fine. We don't, you know, we're just not giving it the time and the seriousness to. But then I did my last few, as I got older. Now I do believe that I have, you know, I took a different class, and I'm more, I have those peace trips where I can see my estrogen. So there are ways to make it work and, to be more diligent about it. So that's what I'm doing now because I'm 45 now, and I have a little girl with Down syndrome, which is wonderful. She's such a gift. And then another one with another disability. But we are at the point where I'm getting older, and I don't want to have any more kids unless, you know, God can do me one. But so I'm not getting pregnant, you know, so I think it's all in how seriously I take the, healthcare.
Right.
Body.
Yeah. So no, I've heard of a lot of people, and we've definitely been in periods in our marriage where we don't use birth control, but we do have a way of making sure we don't get pregnant, and we abstain when I'm ovulating. And so it's just a matter mm-hmm. of learning when I'm ovulating. Now, for a lot yeah. of women, that can be tricky. For me, it never was. I was in regular periods and was healthy in that area. But it's pretty cut and dry. And you're mm-hmm. like exactly how you said, Sarah, you said perfectly. If you follow it, it works. But if you're yes. just being willing to not following it, then that's okay too. But I think a yeah. lot of people then say, well, see, it doesn't work. But it's like you weren't using any method. And there's been periods where we're like, well, whatever, if we get pregnant, it's okay. And some people are fertile and can just get pregnant better than others.
Right, right. So, I think I'm not fertile, but I'm not charting. And, you know, I'm thinking I'm not, but... Yeah, but
I mean, it's a science, so you have to follow it. There's charts,
yes,
and
absolutely.
You're right. If you don't follow it, it's the science will show you it. You'll get pregnant. So can I ask you which method? What is the method you like?
I think it's Creighton.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
Watching your mucus,
right.
It's like charting your mucus and the different qualities of the mucus.
Mm-hmm.
Have been the most helpful to me. The other one was a mixed method with the basal thermometer, which I felt not helpful for me because I was up through the night nursing a baby, and you have to be at rest before you take your temperature, and that usually never was the case for me.
To a point where, okay, we definitely don't want to get pregnant. You just need to follow it, and then you have that, you know, that teacher or that method or that book or whatever you learned in the class. It's great to have. Things change. Health.
Yeah,
and
I need that guy. If I didn't have that, I'd be lost. But I feel like I
just
have
be like, I hope I don't get pregnant.
Yeah, but I know I feel very confident in the method. I just have to be careful about following it.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm so glad you brought that up because I'm surprised I've had different OBs over the years and just explaining it. They've been respectful in that that's what I choose. As their patient, but they don't have information, and I've come to find that they don't actually teach it in med school, and so many people just don't know about it. It's not even offered as an option, and then that's how the misconceptions come. People think it's just not using birth control or just, I don't know, other things. I've heard weird things like the calendar method. I think that's what it was like 60 years ago.
Right.
And like that's really outdated.
Yes. Yeah. And it's just, I just like to know what is going on with my body. And I think it's just a healthy, I think you can use it to detect like other problems, potential problems going on.
For sure. Well, that exactly. Oh, so I'm so glad you said that because I know people who are infertile, you learn it. I mean, we're in, like you said, Ohio, we're near Cleveland, and Cleveland Clinic is well known and, you know, just a really great hospital, and people will go there in an infertility clinic, and they come back, and they essentially just taught them how to chart like we learned in the NFP classes at church, which is because a woman doesn't know when she's ovulating, so you can't just have sex all the time and expect to get pregnant. You have to actually have sex when you're
right,
going to get pregnant.
Right.
Siblings, I'm sorry, your children, have anything to say about their siblings or your husband about, I know that's kind of a really general question, but anything they love about a big family? Or just their opinion, or?
Well, I haven't asked the children directly. In the past, I know, like you said, my older ones went, oh, such a big, you know, a little complainy about it, actually.
Uh-huh.
But then, you know what, I will say, I just love watching them love on the babies. I mean, they just love those babies. They're writing essays about them, and you know, in school, and I think it helps them be better people, to be honest. I have one, my second child has always been a little more hyperactive, and he just loves holding them, and it seems to calm them down, and it brings the best out of them, and I don't know, it makes, the boys are all so nurturing and loving, so I haven't asked them directly, but I know they just love these two little ones, I have a 3-year-old with Down syndrome and then the baby, and they just give them so much love. And
that's great.
And my husband, he thinks that we bring, he says, yes, we're a spectacle because we parade with, mm-hmm. around with all eight of them. But he thinks we bring a lot of joy and life to, you know, others and situations where we go. So, yeah, he's very positive about the big family.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh.
I do want to say, I know you probably have to go now, but I think having a big family has made me helped me become a better person. Mm-hmm. Just because, you know, it stretches me and it demands that I become more selfless and mm-hmm. more trusting in God. And because it's hard, you know, it's hard to do by yourself or with, you know, I'm home with the kids by myself. It's hard, or with your husband. So,
totally agree.
Yeah. So it's hard, but I think it helps. It can help someone. You know, it's not all sacrifice, but we,
right.
Through sacrifice, I think we're kind of fulfilling who we're meant to be in a way.
Yes, well said.
Yay.
So thanks again. And I hope we will meet sometime, somehow, one day.
Yes, that'd be great. All right, take care.
Take care. Okay, God bless. Bye.
Bye-bye.